Auburn's roster is nearly complete. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoots podcast. As always, I am your host, Jacob Hillman, and we are breaking down the newest addition to Auburn basketball's roster as it heads into year two under Coach Stephen Pearl, as well as what is left to fill on this roster as we look at the wing position and where the Tigers are looking at this point, where potentially kind of the play style that they want, and maybe a couple of names that have been floating around and why that hasn't come to fruition yet. Make sure you are subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network, wherever you listen to your podcast, and on YouTube, where you can also hit the like button for so much more great content coming out as we head into the spring and early summer with Auburn baseball continuing its trek through SEC play, getting ready for regional play. Spring practice is wrapped up for Auburn football, but lots of big recruiting news that has been broken down. And then, of course, right here on the Barn Hoots podcast, we talk all things Auburn basketball, including the addition of Auburn's backup guard, that's point and shooting guard, George Kimball III, officially signed, announced last night by the Tigers and Auburn men's basketball social media. We've known this for a week. Actually, funny enough, when my last episode dropped, of course, that's when the news dropped. So that's why we're talking about it now instead of last week. And with that was also the departure of Emeka Oporum. Wish him nothing but the best, truly. Emeka was really he seemed like a fun go-around guy, and it's unfortunate that he had the issues that he had last season and couldn't get on the floor, but wish him nothing best going forward, as Auburn has built a great front court now to go into the 2026-27 season. But we continue talking about George Kimball and what he's going to bring to the table for this Auburn basketball team next year behind guys like Taha Pettiford and Kevin Overton, who have solidified themselves as the mainstays on this roster, the veteran guys that went through Taha, obviously, through the Final Four and SEC championship season, and then together through the growing pains last year, and then ultimately the NIT championship, and what this staff and this program is trying to build under Stephen Pearl. It's not Bruce Pearl's team anymore. It's not his program. It is now Stephen Pearl's team. And it is important for there to be continuity. And that's what's so key with bringing back the starting backcourt, especially with a guy that was on that Final Four team 2 years ago and saw everything within the transition from Bruce to Stephen. And now the NIT championship and everything like that all matters and is going to be a key for this locker room, I feel like, especially, but even on the floor when the engine is the backcourt and the point and shooting guard, especially in an offense that has been elite for so long under Mike Burgemaster, as Stephen Pearl will give him credit as the offensive coordinator. It's so important to have good to elite guard play, and that's at the one and the two. So that's what Tahad and Kevin are going to bring, and George Kimball now coming over from Vanderbilt. He didn't play for the Commodores last year. He suffered an injury at the end of his freshman year at Eastern Kentucky and then transferred to Vanderbilt, where he sat out, got taken care of, and now is ready to get back to action in the SEC. And he was quite successful at Eastern Kentucky. And I think the key here is the fact that he's going to play point and shooting guard. He's going to back up Taha Pettiford, and he's going to back up Kevin Overton. And that brings the point, all right, what are his strengths and his weaknesses? And he can shoot the lights out. He can pass the ball. The improvements are that he needs to take better care of the ball. But I think most importantly is that on defense, he was good at forcing the issue in his one season at Eastern Kentucky. Is he going to be the most electric or dynamic defender on this team? No, but he absolutely is a guy that is going to help when Tahad and KO have to go off the floor and really get a rest and whatever that is, if maybe he's just a spark plug, that's great as well. But in that freshman season, he was just so good, and averaging 18 points, 3.7 rebounds, and 3.2 assists per game, as well as being sixth in the nation in steals. So that was just in 25 games. So I really think that that's something he takes pride in, is his defense. And like I said, it's not necessarily the he's gonna lock you down like an Isaac Okoro out on the wing or anything like that, but he's going to create opportunities in transition, and that's another area that he thrives. So excited to continue that way. He's a D2 guy from several years ago. So Eastern Kentucky was just his first D1 year, and he was at Eckerd College, and he was freshman of the year in his conference there. Almost averaged 20 points per game. So he's kind of taken a step up every single level and stayed true to himself and really followed up everything that he's done. So I think that he's a guy that's really going to bring an important, and I mean, I can't emphasize that enough, depth piece to this team, and eventually could become a really good player for this team. And it's really important to emphasize that, just because you look at the future, and this is going to be a pretty veteran roster. Now, it's not going to be that 24 to 25 class that was just 11 seniors and then Taha Pettiford. It's a mix of seniors and juniors, as well as the freshmen and sophomores in Simon Walker and Caleb Williams. And then, of course, we still got to find out who is going to be that starting three, who is going to be the wing guy. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But Kimball is a guy that he's going to bring a dynamic play style to the guard position, like Taha Pettiford and Kevin Overton. When you hear Eastern Kentucky and point guard, many are going to think about Wendell Green Jr., and people are going to say what they want about him and whatnot, but he was the starting point guard on an SEC championship team with Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler. So I just think that him coming in with the range that he has and what he can do, he shot. So that's another key. I talked about the turnovers and him having to hopefully figure that out, be a little bit more careful with the ball. He also needs to be more efficient. He shot 34.1% from three in his one season with Eastern Kentucky, 58 of 170, not very efficient. And again, on a team like that, they're probably sending him out there just to fire away and get the team going. So I think that that's something that can be solved. He did shoot nearly 40% from two in that season, and he was an 85% free throw shooter. So those are the things that I think matter the most, is that he can score from every single level. He can get to the basket. He can shoot. He does have his range is pretty much unlimited. Don't let that shooting percentage from three fool you. He can go out deep and shoot from long range, similar to a Kevin Overton. Not as efficiently as KO does, but he can stretch the floor and make teams guard him in his face from far out there, which obviously opens things up for him to dish out assist. So yeah, that's really what I'm excited to see. And I think that his defensive tenacity that he's shown at Eastern Kentucky is something that Auburn will definitely need. And that's pending, again, what this wing spot looks like, the three guard. And at this point, there's been no indication exactly what that's going to look like. But at this point, you know, with Tahad and Kevin and George Kimball, you're in a good spot. So what do we know about the wing, the small forward, the three guard, whatever you want to call it now, because it's definitely developed and changed over the years. And that's across college basketball. That's in this system under Stephen Pearl and Mike Burgemaster. Doesn't matter. It's this way. So are you looking for that tall shooter look, or are you looking for more of a bulky guy like Isaac Okoro? get that. That's the one that I always keep going back to, because he was definitely the, all right, this is the kind of style that Auburn's going after now. And then you found Chattabaker Bizarra in 2024 and 2025. And, you know, Jalen Williams even played a little bit of that position at 6'8". Thomas Dowd is going to be able to fill that position when needed. And that allows you to work a lot of the lineup. Something interesting I didn't really dive into last week, I thought. And gosh, I don't know why I didn't, because it makes too much sense following the success that Auburn had with Jahni Broom and Dylan Cardwell. But I think now, looking up and down the roster as it's almost complete, I just think that you're going to see a lot of Narcisse Ngoy and Buki Oboye on the floor at the same time. And that, I'll add Owen Freeman to that mix as well, even though I think he will end up translating more as a four man, but he obviously at 6'10" has the capability to play at center. And is, I think he's a similar stature to Jahni when comparing it to that. Whereas Ngoy and Oboye, of course, Ngoy is definitely more of the body type that Dylan Cardwell was with his frame. Oboye could probably put on a few more pounds to look like that, but the height is comparable. And that's just something that it makes too much sense not to do and revert back to. Now, of course, these guys got to work together. And Jahni was such a special, can't say special enough player that you could really do whatever you wanted with him. And he was going to do what he needed to do to score, rebound, pass, whatever. He was that good. So the expectation should not be that any of these guys are Jahni Broom, a national player of the year right off the bat. Could they be? Maybe. Could they develop into that? Maybe. That's yet to be seen, but that's not the expectation. And I think that that's really, I don't think it got talked enough, you know, about how great that double center starting lineup. And I'm not saying that necessarily it's going to be Ngoy and Oboye starting whenever the season is tipped off in November. But at some point, they're going to be on the floor at the same time. Because obviously, Pettiford and Overton are starting. Whoever your wing is starting. I guess you could slide Dowd up and start him at the wing, because I just feel like he's a surefire starter with what he did at Troy last year. And then if you slide him up, then you get the 4 and 5, which if you do that, it would be Oboye and Ngoy. But if you bring in a guy that's a surefire starter at the 3, then Dowd's your 4, and Ngoy or Oboye, whoever wins that battle, is your 5. So that kind of, and look, last year, I think what many realized, and maybe it was in November when Auburn went to Las Vegas, or in December when it went to the McHale Center and lost to Arizona, or maybe it was in the midst of that losing streak in February for Auburn in the SEC. At some point, you probably realized that roster just was not necessarily it wasn't gelling the way that it needed to, because that was something I said a ton through November and December, that, hey, look, the more and more these guys play, they're going to play better together. And unfortunately, it wasn't consistent enough. It looked great in the NIT, and that was also missing your center in Keyshawn Murphy. It looked good at Florida in January. It looked good when Auburn almost did what it needed to get into the NCAA tournament, but it just wasn't there from November to March, or even for a month span at a time, other than that half month in the NIT. And that's why I think there was a much more concerted effort here with the front court and what they did. You get your dynamic scorers in Thomas Dowd and Adam Olsen from South Alabama. You get your defensive presence and the interior just solidified with Narcisse Ngoy, Buki Oboye, and then Owen Freeman, of course. And then you have a guy that can come off the bench and is experienced in mid-major basketball, but did just play on a Vanderbilt team that was quite successful. He didn't play, but he at least was there and got to experience that. He's going to back up the guys that you know are superstars in Tahaa Pettiford and Kevin Overton. And look, that's not even to mention Simon Walker and Caleb Williams. Hopefully they develop into really solid shooters and can play defense, because that is going to be how you get on the floor under Stephen Pearl is playing defense. And we go back to last offseason, and before Simon hurt his foot or his ankle, it was discussed that, hey, look, he's coming along, he's going to have a chance to play. Then, of course, that kind of derailed him, and he wasn't able to play the minutes in the non-conference that he needed to be ready for any of those tough non-conference games or, of course, the SEC. So I'm really intrigued by what this is going to look like, because that is the most important thing in college basketball now. With so much turnover year in and year out, how do you develop chemistry? It's dang near impossible to do that anymore without any continuity. And that goes back to what I said, that Tahaa and Kevin coming back is the biggest win of the offseason, in my opinion. And doing that is going to establish a culture under Coach Pearl and General Manager Brian Kloman. That's important, because he's going to be the one in the front office in a professional style way. Hey, look what these guys did. Look who I brought in, how they plugged in, blah, blah, blah. Going forward, that's how you can fill that roster in. So I think that's going to be the biggest takeaway as we get into the season. So again, the three guard, the small forward, the wing, whatever you want to call it. This is going to be a guy that can shoot the ball well, but most importantly is going to play defense and provide a spark. You know, Tahaa and Dowd and Overton and Olsen are all going to score the ball. We know that. We know that they can come in and that they can, whether it's from three, whether it's at the free throw line, wherever, they're going to be able to get theirs as far as the scoring goes. So how can he add that one more piece to complement the defensive abilities of Ngoy and Oboye and Freeman, and what I'll even add Kimball to that conversation as well. And that's because they're going to be on the floor a lot with a guy like Kimball. And a lot of the conversation over the last few weeks has been, and these are reports from different outlets of why this hasn't happened yet, but Montez Rustavicius, I totally butchered that name, so forgive me, but eventually I'll get it. Hopefully, as an Auburn Tiger. He's one that's been mentioned a lot. You've seen his name floating around on social media. You've seen the message board posts and everything going on with that. You got Dwayne Aristode as well from Arizona. That's another name that's been floating around. So those are kind of the targets. Now, let's look at them and see exactly what that is, because who knows if those come through. Aristode from Arizona, he was a freshman last year. He's from the Netherlands, and he played in 35 games, just only 13.2 minutes per game. And when he shot 49% from the field, he was 46.2% from three, which was what I thought was impressive, because he was 30 for 65. And look, his rebounding numbers look pretty good as well. 39 defensive rebounds, 22 offensive rebounds. And I think the total numbers are worth noting, because again, the averages don't look all that impressive because he just didn't play all that much. So let's look at the game log. And in the NCAA tournament, he averaged 7 minutes per game, 2 points per game. He shot two threes and made them both. That's cool. but really, you got to look back at the non-conference and when he got in and played 20 plus minutes. So his best game came against Northern Arizona. He scored 18 points in 25 minutes. He was 6 of 9 from three. He grabbed three rebounds as well in that game. He scored 17 points against Denver. He was 4 of 8 from three in that game, in grabbing five rebounds in that game. And actually, rather around Northern Arizona, he dished out three assists and grabbed two rebounds in that game. And then the other double-digit scoring game he had was against Bethune-Cookman, a game that Auburn or a team that Auburn played last year. It was the penultimate non-conference game before Big 12 play got underway, but he scored 12 points in that game, 4 of 5 from 3. he shoots the lights out from three. And then he had one rebound and two assists in that game as well. So another good game he had. It was San Diego State back on December 20th. He only scored 4 points, but four rebounds and two assists. That's a really solid number. Against Auburn, he played 13 minutes, scored 8 points. He was 1 of 3 from three. But he was 3 for 3 from the free throw line. One rebound, one assist. So, again, to the point, it's going to have to be a guy that can shoot the ball well. And when you go look at Montas, same way. And his numbers are obviously different because he's playing overseas and in different types of leagues. So he's jumped between the Euro League and the Euro Cup. But this past season, he's averaging 7.5 points per game. But the previous season was averaging 13.78 points per game. And that's kind of the number I think is the one that pops a little bit and is the one that you want to hone in on and think, all right, that's what you're looking at. And I mean, you just look at the way he shoots the ball. You can tell that he will develop into a great 3-point shooter wherever he goes. So that's kind of the direction that Auburn's going. So I don't know if these guys are going to come through or not. It might be one or the other. It might be both. It might be none. We'll see. But eventually Auburn will sign another wing and probably another one too, because right now when you just pan it out, you obviously don't have your starter, and I guess you can slide guys around, but there's enough room for two more bench spots as well as the starting wing position. So we'll see. It just kind of depends on what guys in the portal still are looking for. If they want to come in and compete, then they'll be welcome. But otherwise, they might want to go another direction, get a guaranteed starting job. And that might not be the case at Auburn once they fill that 3-guard spot. But overall, so far, this has been a successful portal for Auburn. And as I said, the roster just looks like it's well put together. Hopefully it turns into a well-oiled machine in November through March. But overall, it looks great right now. And I think that once you get this final starter kind of plugged in and you feel good about it, then when you start to think about, all right, expectations, how does this roster grade out against the rest of the league? And there's going to be a lot of time. Again, I go back to last year, and the last signee and last transfer Auburn brought in was Filip Jovic, and that was, I think, on Memorial Day. It was either on Memorial Day or Memorial Day weekend when he was announced as a signing for Auburn basketball. So I don't expect Auburn necessarily to stretch out that much into the offseason with the portal, but plenty of other teams could. So we'll start to compare teams once we have some final answers across the league and across the country, but we're not to that point yet with the portal just closing a week ago. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Barn Hoops podcast. And again, I just really like the direction that this team is going and this roster is going. Of course, there's going to be a little bit of a dead time and dead period once this roster is complete, where we'll talk about history. We'll look ahead. We'll do whatever. So make sure you subscribe right here to the Barn Podcast Network. Hit the like button on YouTube for all of the updates from me at the Barn Hoops Podcast and everyone else on the Barn Podcast Network. So be sure to keep it tuned in, and we'll bring you all the updates surrounding Auburn athletics so that you're up to date and ready for baseball postseason, ready for football season coming up in the fall, and then, of course, Auburn basketball season coming up in the winter. So with that being said, thank you for tuning into this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.